Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. You can also listen to us online if you are. A very big hello to you, and of course on DAB. Well, on the Food and Drink Show today, we're eating on the hoof. Yes, and we're also coming from Ireland. I happen to be over there during the summer visiting some festivals and seeing what food was being served. I can't say you call it fast food because, let's be honest, if you're at a festival, there's a fair bit of queuing. So you're very hungry, famished, in fact, by the time you actually get up to the counter to order your food. Well, we've a lovely twist because today the food that's come from a food truck at a festival has been inspired by a famous Irish musician. So going from music to food. So more about that later on in the show. And also the music is going to be inspired from my visit to Ireland to the Grew Festival in the lovely Kilruddery Estate in County Wicklow. The headliner was UB40, and that's one of the first tracks that we're going to have. Now, also on the show today with me, Karen Morton, is I'm joined in the studio by a chef extraordinaire who comes from France, who's trained and has served food in some of the best establishments both in France and London. He's been on television and he's opened up a venue in Brighton now, and we're going to tell you more about what they're doing there because it's something that you and I can get involved in. So have your pen and papers ready, and we're also going to take a visit back in history to a fruit that's not so readily used these days. Ben is going to tell us, as it's a fruit of the season, what we can do in how to cook it, how to use it, and it also has some medicinal properties. So I hope I've intrigued you for this lovely show, the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. My name is Karen Morton. Here's UB40. And there you have it, UB40, a very familiar track from them. And I think I've taken you back in a little bit of time there to Cherry O' Baby. I saw UB40 at the Grew Festival in County Wicklow, a really fabulous festival. So if you're looking at what you're going to do next year for some festivals and you're thinking of something a little bit different and not too manic either, not too big, well, the Grew Festival is one to look out for, and UB40 were headlining there. I was particularly interested in the food that was being served, and more about that a little later on in the programme. But first of all, I would like to welcome to the studio Massey Ben. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Radio Reverb.
Well, thank you for having me today. Thank you.
Good. Now, the one thing that whenever I went onto your website, which of course is the Brighton Cookery School, I got very confused about your name, Ben, because we associate Ben with being a first name. And I wasn't sure, do I call you Ben?
Well, it's actually a double barrel name. Messer for some, Ben for others. My children tend to call me Messer whenever they're not happy with me. And Ben, for most of people, whenever I say my name, Mr. Ben, the name Ben always sticks to people's minds. So I just go along with it, and you know.
Okay, so you answered to both. You
that's
answered
right,
to both.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll call you Mesa today.
Yes, if you.
If that's
yes,
all right. That's and you were in my good books, so it's not that that you're in my bad books there, just because.
Thank you.
Now, I was fascinated because I was on my way to the studio a few weeks ago, and of course I was stomping by in the London Road, mm-hmm. and I had to do a little double take because I saw the name Brighton Cookery School, and I saw these lovely big wooden tables,
Thank you.
I thought, that's very interesting. So curious as I was, I marched in the door. Mm-hmm. You came up to me smiling and I said, tell me, what do you do here at the Brighton Cookery School? You mm-hmm. learn, you cook and you eat.
That's pretty much the whole concept encapsulated. I've started the whole concept in Brighton about 6 years ago. We used to be in Kemp Town. We stayed there 5 years, and we recently moved on 64 London Road since February this year. The idea of the whole concept itself is to learn. So you do 2 hours of cooking with us, then cook your food you just, prepped, and sit down and enjoy the meal you just prepared. So usually a starter, main course, dessert. The whole point of it is the restaurant experience. The whole session takes about 5 hours, and obviously everything is complemented with wine that matches every dishes you've chosen. We do have a whole selection of different dishes from starter, main course, dessert. We do answer to the dietary requirement, vegetarian, vegans, and so on. The dishes we offer are uncomplicated, easy to recreate, because the whole point of our school is to be able for whoever comes through the door to end up with more confidence to recreate healthy, good food.
So how did you get the idea? Because, I mean, you were a fully trained chef, and right. you've worked in restaurants in London and France. And what was it about this? It intrigued you to do?
Well, it's just I've met some interesting and inspiring people along the way that helped me in some kind of way, in their own way, to put me in some direction. And then from that, create a concept that could actually, help people rather than just imposing certain dietary in a very complex and using a very difficult language. I've chosen to simplify, at least the appellations of terms, and inviting people to enjoy food in a very relaxed environment, as opposed to all that stressy, kind of things you see on TV. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Well, we've got MasterChef and we've got yes. Bake Off. And I mean, to me, I love watching Bake Off, but it exhausts me.
Indeed, yes.
Because it just, like I said, oh my goodness, this whole baking thing, it's like a real challenge. Well, they go on up for that kind of challenge. But if we're wanting to just learn to cook anything from baking to pastas to, what do you find is the most popular request for cooking?
The simple ones, the one that people tend to consume on a regular basis. Pasta is one of them. Everybody has pasta at least once in their life. And they all seem to be curious how to create pasta from scratch. And this is one of the main one. People tend to be also aware nowadays of dietary and, what goes with what. So keeping basically all vegetables and meat in a very simplistic way and to have them fully expressed on the plates without having to put too many sauces or anything like that.
Now, I like the way you say that, so that food at its source, at its originality, to have its originality on the plate without any of the sauces or whatever. So can you give me some idea of how you go about doing that?
Well, the advantage of Sussex, West Sussex, where we live, you have a tremendous community, a food community, and that provides good quality product for meat. We got the sea not too far from here, so the fish is glorious. And vegetable from organic to, you know, I've got a friend of mine down in Somerset, which has starting an aquaponic system, you know, not totally well known in this country. But the vegetable that comes out from his greenhouse are spectacular. The variety, I mean, the chap grows anything from Japanese product to mainstream, you know, vegetables.
So tell us again what he's doing there. I didn't quite
catch. Aquaponics.
Okay, so what is that?
The utilization of growing vegetable without the use of soil as such, by recreating a system where there's a symbiosis between the fish and the vegetable. So he's got big tanks of rainbow trout, which provides basically nutrient to the water, and it has a long conduit propelled by pumps, and it has beddings of vegetables on floaters, so the vegetable takes nutrient from the water from the residues of the fish, purify it, and then send it back to the fish. So it's a symbiosis between the vegetable and the fish. Ultimately, the fish do pretty much the hard work.
Wow, yes. That's amazing.
I'm sure, Antonio, if you do listen, you know, forgive me if I simplified your whole, you know, your whole thing here. But I was really impressed, and something that should be encouraged.
So what have you taken from what he's doing? I mean, what do you particularly like to order?
Well, actually, all the tremendous vegetable that he grows, I mean, the Orac family, the kind of plants that are pretty fun to find in the British market, and his fish also, because he do sell the fish and, you know, consume the fish eventually, which has a wonderful flavour. And if you want to, as a chef point of view, if you want to rediscover, and I use the word rediscover because we tend to forget things the way it was before, the true flavour of trout, just by an Antonio's father, you know, trout, and you will see what I'm talking about.
Now, can we order from him? I mean,
yes.
Does he do sort of mail order or whatever?
Absolutely, yes. He has a website. His website is Aquaponics. He's the only farm in Somerset. I think there's another one somewhere in Britain. It's actually two in Britain, and easy to find. You know, feel free to get in touch with him. And he's Italian, so he's totally passionate about his food. And it's always a pleasure to see him, to talk to him. And also Amanda, which is another support, is his wife. There's always a great woman behind a great man anyway.
Oh, of course, of course. So here's this aquaponics, and you get it's a full cycle, isn't it, of
exactly,
nutrients
yes.
going back and forth between the vegetables and the fish in the ponds. I'm fascinated. I'm going to be going onto the website myself and taking a little look because it sounds great. So you order your vegetables and your fish, great recommendation about the trout. So what you're saying really is that really well-grown or really well-produced food will have its own great flavours without you
absolutely.
Adding
too
much extra to it.
There's absolutely. I mean, there's no secret. I mean, even organic product, unfortunately, the land has been, I wouldn't say contaminated. I mean, if you do have an organic farm standing next to a farm that, you know, that uses tremendous amount of chemical, is bound to, your land will be bound to be affected eventually in one way or another. So he has, I mean, his philosophy is to recreate an environment without using the soil as such, and recreating a whole organic system, which you will, you know, and it does not require any space. It does the whole thing in 1 acre of land, so utilizes the height as opposed to the length of the land. I mean, I've seen him a few times using a ladder to pick up his lettuce and cucumber. And the whole, it's just amazing. I'm chaffed.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, so if we go to the Brighton Cookery School,
right.
Will we be tasting some of the vegetables?
Absolutely.
From
yes, I can always, you can just let us know when you're planning to come over. Obviously, I'll make sure everything will be organized. And, Yes, and I will hope to introduce yourself to new things and, you know.
Fantastic. I'm talking to Messy Ben from the Brighton Cookery School on the London Road, and this is where you can go along and have a go at learning how to cook and learns how to bring out the true flavours of some very simple, delicious foods. Mm. Now, if I can ask you, Messy, do you run an open programme, or do you have to go with your own party of people, or how does it work?
We started to cater for parties. We do anything from corporate to celebratory, hen parties, birthdays, wedding anniversary, and so on. And we also work alongside schools in Brighton as part of a school enrichment program to support children be introduced to cooking and also cook in general. Then we do also private parties. We cater for small parties, big parties, but if you do want to join as individual, and not be, you know, we have set up a meetup group which runs twice a month. We've scheduled a few cooking sessions. It is pretty hard to satisfy pretty much everything, and as you can imagine, having every menu is featuring on our website would be simply it would bore people to death. So we've stopped doing that, but so if you want to join it as an individual, if you want to, you know, good food and also meet interesting people who share the same interest, go into our website. We have a little box, a meetup group box. Drop your name with your food interest, and we're trying to put you into a session where we will answer your call, basically. So we do eventually run session for the individual. Okay. And we do also have masterclass courses for a more deep cooking, which usually lasts anything between 5 to 8 hours. We will teach you how to handle 4 type of meat, 4 type of fish, 4 sauces, to go with your fish and meat. You will obviously not learn the whole spectrum of cooking. I mean, it took me years to learn what I know, and I'm still learning as I go along. So, but at least it will give you a glimpse, an aperçu of what cooking is all about.
I like that idea, and I think particularly with meats and with fish is that sometimes we can buy things readily prepared, maybe to put on, and maybe learning how to maybe cut fish or clean fish, or just to not overcook. I think this is the thing, we can have a tendency sometimes in this country to overcook our meats, right, our fish, even our vegetables. So I think just any support in making sure that we just get it right, I think is always very helpful. So listeners to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb, we're talking to Messy Ben from the Brighton Cookery School. My name is Karen Morton, and you can hear more about the cookery classes that you can take part in by going to www.brightoncookeryschool.com. Have a go and join in. So whether as a party of friends for a celebration, or as an individual that you want to hook up to one of the open programmes, and you just go and check it out online to either cook for you or to help you to learn how to cook, then they're the guys to go to. Now, we're going to have another track from UB40 as they were on the circuit this summer. It's an ideal one for the Food and Drink Show, of course. It's Red Red Wine. And after that, we're going to be talking to Messy, because I gave him a challenge to introduce us to something now, as we're kind of getting into the autumn season, to take his choice of produce, to cook it up and then tell us what it is and how to do it ourselves. So stay tuned to the Food and Drink Show. It's up to you. Oh, something I certainly enjoy, and I'm sure you do too, is red, red wine, and of course UB40. Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink Show. My name is Karen Morton, and in the studio with me is Messe Ben from the Brighton Cookery School. So if you want to learn how to cook some interesting dishes, you can get in touch with them, tell them what it is you're interested in, and they'll be able to help you out. Now, one of the challenges that I like to put to a chef is to tell us what's in season and what do we do with it. So what did you choose to bring into the studio today, Messe, for us?
Well, my choice for the day is I've brought some quince, a very old-fashioned fruit who came out of fashion. So I've made a couple of dishes. I made a compote, a puree of quince, and I've made a glaze of quince. I usually use the glaze to glaze my lamb to give a nice crispy aromatic flavor, the leg of lamb or shoulder of lamb, and I use it also for a Paul Gammon, also gives you a wonderful substitute to honey. That's for the glaze, and for the puree I usually use it for cheese, halloumi cheese, that kind of strong cheese. It goes very well on bread, biscuits, and not too much, because there's a high amount of tannin in there which dries your mouth after a while, and also makes your stomach having pain in the stomach. So just a little bit. It goes very well with certain fish, like oily fish, sardines, mackerel, herrings, that kind of thing. It's very similar to rhubarb, isn't it, Karen?
I've just had that little taste, because it's sort of looking, it's redder rather than a winey cut. It's a different coloured red to rhubarb. It looks like more of the colour of tomato sauce, I think, really, isn't it?
Right.
But the flavour is more rhubarby, then you just have that little aftertaste, as you say, the dryness in the mouth. But it's actually very pleasant, and I could imagine having it with cheeses, if you were wanting to put a little bit on the side there, just with your biscuits, and maybe having what else would you say? Sort of if you were having a buffet table.
Right, it goes well with hard cheeses, and okay. I will use it usually for hard cheese with a subtle flavour. It's a wonderful compliment, as opposed to, that's not going to steal the show on the plate.
So. If I was cooking a gammon too, some nice thick slices of ham, I think I'd quite like that with my gammon, because it's a substitute to an apple. And I think it's interesting the way that you have it there, and then you've also got the glaze, and the glaze looks a bit like apple jelly, crab apple jelly or something.
Yes.
in colour and texture. And it's really interesting that you've chosen the quince. So what made you decide on the quince?
Well, I'm French, and in France, the quince are well used and well known. We use it in different ways, through compote, jelly, and so it is, and it's also omnipresent pretty much everywhere. It's common to see a tree of quince growing in many regions in France, so it's there, it's established, and people use it. It is a tricky fruit to handle, I must confess to you. Hard skin, people always expect to grab that beautiful apple pear looking fruit and having a bite and expecting that full flavor, which is not the case with quince. The first thing, you will find it hard to put your teeth on it. The skin is extremely hard, and the flesh also, and the second test will be your mouth will be incredibly dry. So it is something you have to process. So the way I do it, I don't bother to peel it. I don't take the pips off, simply because there's an element of pectin in there, which is important for the solidification of the jelly, if you want to achieve that. So the best thing to do is give them a good wash, cut them in big chunks, put them into a big pot, inox, can withstand the heat far, longer, and a bit of water, some lemon juices. If you're not that goes very well with a bit of a lemon thyme or thyme or rosemary.
That's a nice idea. That's a lovely idea, bringing the herbs in there. I can see that. Mm. Yeah, nice.
Some wild thyme. As I know, Karen, as I mentioned earlier, I do a lot of foraging, so I always, whenever I take the dog out, or I'm always on the lookout. Could be either mushrooms or wild fruit or pretty much anything. I'm a foodie, so I always look at the culinary potential that anything can offer. So, Queens, it is a wonderful, forgotten fruit that should be back on the plate. The sooner the better.
Now, but it's not as readily available, is it, that you could just walk around and find the tree here in the UK? I mean, yes, you could probably buy it in the shops far easier than finding it foraging-wise. So what are we looking out for?
Well, I'm lucky to have Brighton Cookery School, and I always, well, along the way, people comes along and, you know, I've met this wonderful gentleman called Dave, 86 years old, still as a spring chicken as ever, climb trees, and I mean, it's amazing. And he has a tree outside his house, who's been planted by his own father, so the tree is over 100 years probably, and bears wonderful quince. And he calls me every year. I go there, picks up all the quince, you know, literally every single quince in the tree. I take everything while he's holding the ladder, and always, you know, bring him, you know, a jar or two, you know, just to say thank you. He didn't know what to do with it, and I've introduced him to this fruit, and you know, converted him to the quince fan club, basically.
Wonderful. Well, I love that. And that the story of the age of the tree as well, too. And let's hope it that the next generation that move into his house or whatever afterwards will know about its finer qualities. And I think the nice thing is, for anyone listening today, if you have a tree and it's got quince and you don't do anything about it, then maybe find some people in your community that actually do, and they can do a trade-off by giving you either some puree or, you know, some glaze or whatever they make with it. Because it's a lovely thing, isn't it? If you have an allotment, share the produce, share the love to get something that is, and it's full of goodness.
Absolutely, yes. He has his own property. I'm not quite sure exactly, but he has a certain amount of vitamin C. And it's a wonderful substitute to apple. I love pork and apple, a favorite of the British, cuisine. But please try the quince, simply because if you don't like that sweetness that apples offers you, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Have that.
I think this is brilliant. It's got that the little bit of dryness there, not overly sweet, very pleasant. And I think a little spoonful on your plate, as you said, with your pork, with your ham, or with your cheeses, absolutely gorgeous. I think it's excellent. Now, you took us to boiling it in the pan with the water and the lemon or the lemon thyme. So what do we do next?
Yes,
we've left us all hanging here now. That's like.
The next step, we actually, when the quince are beginning softer, ready in order to, you know, to mash, get yourself a moulin, which is the old-fashioned, you know, the moulin, we call it, which is a mashed potato,
a masher. Because we use a blender.
Yes, but it is a, I never knew the English name of it, because we all seem, even here they call it moulin.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a culinary
I think it is. I think you're a bit too highbrow in the kitchen there now for us. So sort of something you use, the potato masher or a blender.
It would work. You would spend more time and more, you would have, use your muscle, basically. You just mash the whole thing into a puree, a mash. And then from that, put it back in the pot and reduce it down more and adjust it with sugar. Some people are like very sweet. I like to keep a little element of tartness in there, simply because I found the whole fruit attractive, because this is, it's just like rhubarb. Some people will put loads of sugar in there, which takes basically a true flavor, in my personal humble opinion, obviously, off the rhubarb. I like to have a little bit of sugar, and quince treated the same way. Add sugar, trust yourself. And as I say, some people like it really sweet, but I like that little tartness, I like that.
Well, I'm going to have to go and get some quince now from somewhere, so, because this is delicious. Now, the other thing that you got here is the glaze, and I love the way you're saying there that to add it to your joints of meat, whatever, as you're popping it in the oven. If you're using it as a glaze, would you use that?
Right towards the end,
right,
yes.
Right towards the end, yeah.
That would glaze very well. And it would withstand the heat for some time. I mean, some people... I mean, after talking to all my customers and people I've met along the way, you know, in the food, you know, industry, honey is interesting. People like it, but some people do not seem to like it, in such that it has a very pronounced, distinctive flavor, which people tend to. I mean, I've met people who dislike honey. The Queen's glaze will actually provide you something else. It is. It has the same consistency as golden syrup. Mm. It has a high aromatic and, you know, flavor, but can be lamb will actually take over. One thing I don't like about honey, when you put it in some kind of meat, it kind of overtake the flavor of the meat itself. The pork seems to get lost on the honey, I believe.
Okay.
But the Queen's glaze will actually complemented as opposed to imposing itself.
So how do we make the glaze as opposed to the puree? Because it's crystal clear, it's got a beautiful, it's got the ruby red colour to it. So let me just taste a little bit while you tell us how you made that.
Yeah. It is essentially the same thing than the puree itself, but it has the puree has the pulp of the fruit. We just chunk, you know, cut the quince in quarters, don't peel it, you know, just put it into a pot, cook it for some times, and utilize the juice only of the fruit itself. Put it back into a pot and add a bit of preserved sugar, and then cook it, reduce it as we call it, until you get the consistency that you want.
Well, it's just lovely. It's kind of got a soft jelly consistency before
That's
your
right.
jelly sets.
Mm.
Also, when you have dipped my finger into the jar.
Well, it's all yours, by the way, Karen.
Is that all
so
mine?
I'm
so delighted. And if you just, you know, put it in, it's got a little bit like the honey. And it doesn't have the sweetness of honey, but the texture on
That's
your
right.
tongue is like honey. And I could just say, it just adds that little hint.
Mm.
Of a sweetness or just a flavouring that, as you said, will not overtake your meat. You could use this with fish?
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah, to give that extra crispy skin, especially sea bass. And yes, I haven't used it before, but you just gave me a new idea, Karen. Yes.
I know. And I'm thinking as well, too, with some of the, with halloumi, because, you know, whenever we grill up some halloumi cheese and just a little sprinkle of that, I think could be delicious, but it really is lovely.
It's a beautiful colour, isn't it?
It's the most gorgeous colour, the ruby colour. And of course, quinces, as you were informing me, were very big in the Victorian times and had medicinal.
But pretty much, there has been a lot produced that has been really popular in the past. That's the reason I've used the word forgotten, simply because I'm not quite sure what happened, but there was a multitude of products utilized during that time, and I don't know if it's globalization or anything like that. All those food have been, and you know, ingredients have been out of favor. It is not an easiest fruit to handle for the reason I've mentioned previously, but have some patience with it and it will deliver.
So enjoy being in the kitchen, because actually the basic preparation was some water, chopping it up, sort of boiling it, you know, reducing, you know, that's fine. That's easy for us to do. But just know yourself, trust yourself, both in texture and flavor.
Absolutely.
And getting it right. So I love it. And a little, just a little, you just need a little dab with your meats or your cheeses. It's just to complement the flavours of those,
Absolutely.
Which is delicious. So thank you so much, Messe, for bringing these lovely quince produce in and sharing them with us. And we're going to have a piece of music now, because, as you know, I was over in Ireland at the Groove Festival. A band that I've loved from the past that were featured were Hothouse Flowers. They're absolutely wonderful. And I'm delighted to say that they were on the main stage. And to get you in the festival mood, I've got a festival cocktail I want you to try. Wow. So let's get in the mood with a little bit of festival music first of all.
Brilliant.
With the Hothouse Flowers. The great sound of the Hothouse Flowers as I saw them playing live at the Groove Festival in Kilruddery Estate, County Wicklow, just outside Dublin. This particular track is Dance to the Storm, which is actually very appropriate. And the reason for that is the particular day that I went, it rained and it rained and it rained. As we say in Ireland, it pissed rain from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. But the music was fabulous. We didn't miss out in that way, and we enjoyed ourselves. But we did have a good coat. I don't think if I didn't have a good coat, I would have I'd have really struggled. So I've got Messy Ben from the Brighton Cookery School in with me. We've been talking about quinces, how to prepare them and serve them as an accompaniment to your meat, your fish, your cheeses. And also about the wonderful courses that they run that you can take part in and learn how to cook, basically. Now, I have asked Messy just to hang around for a little bit longer here in the Food and Drink Show, because in true festival spirit, you've got to have a drink.
Yes.
You've got to have a drink, let's be honest. And I was introduced to these cocktails. They're called Casso cocktails. They're 5.6 proof, quite sweet. So there's about half a dozen flavours in the range. Coconut mojito I have here. And by the way, listeners, we're putting photographs of everything we're trying here on the Radio Reverb Facebook page. Raspberry Cosmo. And again, that's got a vodka based. And then you've got a peach appletino.
Wow.
And that's a gin based drink with green tea and peach.
Ooh.
Now, the whole idea about these, which I thought was very clever, is if you're at a festival, look out for them. So as well as your food and you're trying to decide what you're going to have to drink, quite often people like something that's quite sweet. And this is great because you don't need to have loads of bottles of alcohol or mixers or whatever, because it basically, you get your little, what looks like you can have a glass jar or a plastic jar, like a jam jar, and your liquid is in there. So everything you need for the drink is in there. Now, it's not quite full and you're thinking, am I being cheated? But you're not, because what you do is you pop the lid off. And then the barman, what he does is he will put in a little bit of ice. As you can hear me jingling some ice, it's not wanting to come out of my flask that we have here in the studio. But what you do is then you put the ice in, and then you put the lid back on. You give it a little shake. We're all feeling festivally. And I'm going to get you to try the coconut mojito.
Oh,
here.
Yes.
So there you go.
Okay.
Cheers, or sláinte, as we'd say in true Irish fashion now.
Yeah, you can definitely feel the coconut. It is indeed
very,
very gentle, isn't it? The alcohol is not imposing.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
But isn't it a great idea? So the whole thing is then that you drink from the jar.
With ice cubes.
And you've got the ice cubes in there. So if you're serving it at the bar, if you were having a party or something, a party in the park, it's great. You just buy a whole load of these Casso cocktails, choose your flavours. The ice is a lovely touch, because then you've got a cold drink. But the fact you can just take the lid off and there you go, serve it up. Look out for them if you're at a festival, or it might even be you're ordering a takeaway. You might see them on your menu somewhere. But I thought it was a brilliant idea. Whether they're glass or whether they're plastic, it's recyclable, so you can throw them away. The only thing at a festival, you're not going to be able to trample on them, so they might make a little bit of a mess if people chuck them on the ground. However, that's not my problem at a festival, but I love the idea. I think
everything
it's great fun.
Yes, everything is inside a jar. I mean, you can put the ice in there. That's just a...
Isn't it
it's
very
wonderful,
clever?
I mean, it is very simple. I mean, who would have thought to have something...
Now, what I like here, I'm drinking the peach appletino, and it's not too sweet. If you want to try a taste of that one there.
Yes.
But they're refreshing, they're light in the alcohol. And if you just want a nice sort of simple sweet drink, bit of a cocktail, it's fun. I love the idea. If you're going to a festival, it's all about fun. It's about the music being fun. It's about the drinks being fun. It's about the food being fun.
Well, you want to be able to walk around and, having something.
Yeah.
That you can take with you, and so I can't get over the ice inside. I mean,
it's ingenious to do that. So it's not full to the top, so that at the bar or yourself, you just put the ice in and shake it all about. And I think it's brilliant. Brilliant idea. So there you go. The Casso cocktails, they come in the glass jar, just like a jam jar. You drink it straight from there. Variety of flavours. So when you're out and about, keep an eye out for them. It's a pretty clever idea, isn't it? Yes. Good.
I mean, you can take this with you, put the ice cubes anytime you like. And it's a really pleasant flavour. I mean, and also the originality of the flavour itself. Yeah. This is, what was that? Peach and apple.
Yeah, peach and apple. You've also got raspberry Cosmo. Mm-hmm. There's a variety that you can get. There's, variety of mojitos, etc. Now, I know that... if you were going to have a party in your garden or whatever too, it's ideal. You can get them, I know, from wholesalers locally to, I think, sort of from Worthing, Brighton Hove. But just look it up online, Casso, if you want to check out where to get them. But the key thing is look out for them at events. It's a really fun idea. I think it's innovative. in its styling, and it gets a big hands up from me just because I think it's such fun.
It is, yes,
really clever idea.
So I didn't try the other one.
Oh, you've got to try that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put some more music on, and I'm going to say, while Messe drinks himself under the table here at the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb, trying out these Casso cocktails, I'm going to introduce you. Thank you for joining us in the studio, and don't forget, everybody, to tune to look up the Brighton Cookery School. You can find them at www.brightoncookeryschool.com. Now, as I said to you, I went to the Groove Festival in Ireland, and one of the things that was really interesting me a lot was I have known of the very famous Irish artist called Sharon Shannon. You will see her playing the accordion, you will see her playing the fiddle, amongst other instruments. She's a terrific folk musician. Traveled the world, has played with some of the great singer-songwriters, including Emmylou Harris. She was also part of the Waterboys for a stint as well, too. Christy Moore, to name but a few. But Sharon is a vegan, a passionate vegan. She has been known as well on a tour bus to stop off and to go and sit in the middle of a field, and if there's cows or sheep there, and play music to them. She feels that they really benefit from that. But she now has these food trucks, and she's touring festivals with them. And I wanted to get a taste for what Sharon and her Sharon Shannon's Gardens, you know, vegan food trucks were all about. So I caught up with her partner in crime to tell us a little bit more about them.
Hi, my name is Damien O'Brien from Sharon Shannon's Garden of Vegan.
Now, here we are standing in the rain at the Groove Festival at the wonderful Kilruddery Estate, the beautiful stately home, and it is tipping it down. So how is it going for you from a food point of view so far? It's late afternoon.
It's very good today. Yesterday it was very, very busy. We were fairly flat out now for a good solid 8 hours yesterday, like everybody. The weather was a lot better, but it's tipping along nicely today as well.
Well, the whole thing, as we know, with festival weather, isn't it? You've got to take the rough. Yeah. We're going the rough, but the music is fantastic.
Yes, great setup.
Tell us about, Sharon being into music. She plays music to the cows in the field. What's going on with the, this gorgeous food offering that she's doing, which is really vegan and gluten-free? Is that right? Tell us more.
Vegan, gluten-free and dairy-free, obviously. Sharon is an avid vegan, and we started last year kind of testing the market at small festivals, and then this year we got a break with MCD, and they brought us into all the big concerts. So we started with Guns N' Roses, which was for 100,000 people in Slane, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's very good. So we went on from there, and we've two trucks on the road. This is the baby truck. The other one's at another festival today as well, so we're fairly busy.
And how did you get involved with Shannon?
An email was sent. She was doing an interview, an email was sent, and I know a man who knows her manager, basically, and that's how it all started.
And you're a chef, I take it.
Yeah, myself and Sharon do the menus together, so it's myself and Sharon, and myself and Sharon own the business together. We run the business together, so she comes up with menus, and I tweak them, and we bring it on the road.
But, the whole thing about the truck and the people who are serving it, everyone's very funky, very groovy. The food looks really appealing. So tell us what you're serving.
Well, we serve a dal curry, served on a bed of rice. We have a vegan chili, and we have a fiery root vegetable hot pot. And then we have our veggie burger.
And which is the most popular out of all that you serve, would you say?
The most popular, actually, believe it or not, are the homemade chips. And you can get them topped with the curry and the chili and the hot pot. But the next in line is the burger. The burger's the quickest one to sell out.
Now, do you find that, for a lot of people who'd be meat eaters or whatever, maybe a bit of something, I wonder what this is all about, this funny food. Do you find that people are converted very easily through coming to festivals like this?
Yes. The big thing for, like I said, when we were with MCD, the big thing for them was there's a lot of demand for a healthier option, rather than the burgers and chips and what have you. So that's the market we came in on, but we're finding more and more that it's people who are food intolerant that are coming up to us. So it's not just vegan and vegetarian, it's people with food intolerance.
And that's fantastic, because often, burgers and things like that, it's full, wheat baps and whatever. So if you have got some kind of intolerance, it's really annoying because you're limited. And here, you're not.
No, it's great, really. Yeah, because we target it on Facebook. We have our own website as well, so where we know where we're going, we can send it out, and people know that we're here and they come find us. We could be in, because when you're starting off, when you're a newbie on the scene, you're kind of put in the corner, you know. And but it's starting to go really well, and people are finding us, and now we're getting better positions. And Groove took us on, and they were full, and they squeezed us in, and it exploded. It's gone really well. Yeah, it's gone really, really well.
So, do you do festivals only in Ireland, or do you travel?
Well, last year we travelled. When we were playing, we were kind of popping up last year to test the market. We did a couple of festivals in Scotland that Sharon was playing at, so we went along with that, and we sold out with every one of them. So I'd say so far this year, we've done, I'd say 80% of the gigs we've done, we've sold out. Completely. It's great that way. So we were kind of panicking yesterday. We thought we'd sell out. You know, it was really bad. So we will sell out today, but I'd say we're open till 10, half 10, but I'd say we'll be gone by 8 o'clock, I'd say.
So probably coming up with some new things. Have you anything now in mind that you're working on at the moment?
I have,
Sharon?
Yes.
Will you share it?
No.
We won't tell anybody,
can't.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we have a few... We have a few things for next year for festivals. We have a good few things to come on board. As I said, we've 5 products, but we can make a 10 with the chips, you know, when you add the curry and stuff to it. And we have a smoothie range as well. So we have a mango smoothie, strawberry smoothie, and tropical smoothie. So it's just pure juice, pure fruit. And it's mixed together, there's no dairy, and it's just made on ice. And they're very, very popular as well. Well, not today, obviously, but most days they are, you know. So we are launching, we did a trial run the start of May for a couple of weeks to sell our food online through Paleo Ireland. We all combined with Paleo Ireland and the guys that help us produce the food for the festivals, because it's much bigger now, so I can't produce it on the grand scale that we did last year. Was a bit smaller, but this year we have to get it done in a production kitchen, Gallagher's Boxley House from Temple Bar. So they do it, and they work with Paleo Ireland, they produce their food. So we launched it, and it went really well for the first 2-3 weeks, and then we Goon wanted to trial it, so we stopped. So we're launching it again in about 3 weeks' time, for probably September. So any product we have here, with the exception of the chips, you can buy online and deliver to your house.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, but we will have, and by Christmas then, we'll have 10 ready-made meals.
Wow, brilliant. Well, I suppose the thing now for us to do is to taste your chips before we go. So Rachel and I are here at the Groove Festival, and we're at Sharon Shannon's Garden of Vegan food truck, and we're about to try the chips that have been highly recommended. Rachel, what do you think?
Oh, it's delicious.
Now, you've got the curry sauce.
And I've got the lentil.
The lentil
dal.
Lentil dal. And you've got lime and fresh coriander just sprinkle over the top.
Yes.
Not something you think of having with chips.
No, I'm not a fan of curry and gravy and all that sort of stuff, but this is absolutely delicious.
And it's one of their top sellers, as they are in the food trucks. So I have actually got the curry one, and I'm going back to my days in Dublin and Bray. You know, you go to the pub, and at the end of the night, you go to the local fish and chip shop, but you have curry, chips with curry sauce. This is very different. This is a very healthy option, not the brown stodge we would have had. So I'm about to take a chip here, so try mine as well. Mm. Mm. Do you know what? There's a lovely fluffiness of the potato inside, and the crispiness on the chip.
Good chips.
Mm. And the curry sauce is just delightful. You can taste the such fresh ingredients.
Actually.
And there's a bit of garlic. Yeah.
Mm. That is quite hot as well.
Mm. Spicy?
Really good. Mm. Really good. And this horrible rainy weather.
It's just
rain
ideal, isn't it?
Coming down around us. And we're off for a pint of Guinness and the black stuff in a minute, Karen.
Absolutely. And we've already been jigging, and we're going to do some more jigging. And just look at those potatoes, because they are actual potatoes, a bit of skin and all on them. These are proper chips. These are probably the best chips. Oh, lovely. I wish our listeners could enjoy them as much as we are.
Uh-huh.
But have you ever seen Sharon Shannon? As she comes to the UK or a country, wherever you are, you must try Sharon Shannon's Garden Vegan. The food's just great. And we're looking at the burgers as well, too. I mean, my goodness, the food just looks amazing. And the chips are A1. Great. Marvelous. Let's go get some of that black stuff.
Yes, indeed.
To wash
Karen.
It all down with. Thanks, Rachel. So there we're there. And a great many thanks to Rachel Carter, who was with me from Hove. Thank you, Rachel, for doing the taste test with me. And we did have a pint of that black stuff as well, which was also very good. Many thanks to Damien O'Brien, Sharon Shannon's partner in this vegan venture. And do watch out for the food truck. Anytime you're at a festival or an outdoor gig or whatever's going on, I'm sure it's going to get bigger and bigger and better all the time. The food is amazing. More photographs are up online. How you doing? My name is Karen Morton here on the Food and Drink Show, Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Well, we have come to the end of the show. We never have enough time to kind of tell you all that's going on, but you'll just have to come back and listen to another Food and Drink Show. I hope you enjoyed today talking to Messe Ben and learning all about what to do with the lovely quince. Also about the cookery classes that they're doing at the Brighton Cookery School. Go and check them out online. They're off the London Road in Brighton. And our music today from the Groove Festival in Ireland featured bands to include UB40 and the Hothouse Flowers. But I'm going to leave you with the lovely Sharon Shannon performing with the accordion with Monday, and a terrific song, not the one that you're thinking of recently, but the one that you will know well from the past, and it's Galway Girl. Thank you for joining me here on the Food and Drink Show.
I took a stroll down the old long walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I asked your friend, what's a fella to do? 'Cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. And I knew right then I'd be taking the world down the Salt Hill Prom with a Galway girl. Halfway there when the rain came down on the day, she asked me up to her flat downtown on a fine soft day. And I ask you, friend, what's a fella to do? 'Cause her hair was black and her eyes were blue. So I took her hand and I gave her a swirl, and I lost my heart to a Galway.